you happen to see the poster for Star Wars?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, but I don't. Now I'm just curious. Now I'm like, why is John Boyega holding a lightsaber?
That threw me off. That surprised me.
Yeah, me too.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. Even in the future of law enforcement, there is room for improvement. There is never any room for improvement with my co-host, Mr. Dave Becella.
That's me.
That's Mr. Dave, the present of my podcast co-hosting. That's Dave. I'm Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Even in the future of law enforcement, there is room for improvement is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, we'd like to hear about it. Send your guest to us in one of the three following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet your guest directly at Mr. Mike Mann on the Twitter, @moviesonup. He's now kind of taking care of that. And I guess he's doing our Facebook page, too, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. If you are correct, and if Mike chooses you, he'll let us know, and we will send you out a prize package, which is full of all sorts of great things. That will be in your future. In your immediate future, it is kind of once again time to delve deep into the galaxy far, far away and do a Star Wars episode in anticipation of The Force Awakens, which comes out December 18th, which you may learn next week in our fall preview episode. I kind of feel like this might be one of the ones that we're looking forward to doing the most, because I think it's one that Dave and I like an awful lot, and it is one of the ones that I think most people like an awful lot. And I don't think that's due in small part to it being directed by someone other than George Lucas. Empire Strikes Back, this one directed by Irving Kirshner, starring Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, all the cats from the original. This one opened wide June 20th, 1980, which was number one at the box office, no big surprise, with $10.8 million, which we said last month when we did Star Wars. The opening week box office numbers don't really astound you, but they went on to make an incredible amount of money. Empire didn't quite make what the original made. It went on to gross $290 million, which is still good for 65th place all time on the domestic charts. Mr. Dave, can you guess number 64? It's a superhero reboot, and it sucked. And you saw it coming.
The Spider-Man one?
No.
Or the Hulk?
No, neither. It is the ill-fated Man of Steel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you saw that one. And number 66 is a Harry Potter movie.
That would be...
And I don't know where, because I can't give you any hints. I don't know which one it is. I think it's early Harry Potter.
Is that Goblet?
That's Goblet of Fire, yeah. Right there at number 66.
Which is my favorite.
Is that early Harry Potter?
That's the fourth.
I don't know, is it the fourth out of 50? So it's early?
It's the fourth or fifth out of seven.
All right, so maybe it's late Harry Potter. I really don't know. All I know is that Empire Strikes Back grossed almost $300 million. Going all the way back to 1980. And as I had said, that it seems to be a very popular choice for favorite Star Wars. It is your favorite Star Wars.
It's my favorite Star Wars, and it's not close.
Fair enough. It is my favorite, too. Sometimes it depends on what day of the week you catch me, but today it is my favorite. But if it's everyone's favorite, like, why? I think that answer might be different for everybody. I've got about 5 points that I kind of have that... This is why it's my favorite Star Wars. Love to hear from you guys, though. Like, if we don't hit a reason why you like it, let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com. I will, Mike Mann or somebody, will forward me these emails, and I will read them. And I love reading about Star Wars, and I would love to read about why you like this one or why you don't.
I mean, I look at this like it's a comic book sequel, essentially. Like, your comic book sequel should always be better because you can fit more into it because you're not...
You don't have to introduce.
You're not introducing. It's not the Luke Skywalker origin story, the Han Solo origin story. We go in knowing them. So that time that you spend getting to know them, you can use for other stuff. So, I mean, your characters are established, and you go in knowing them and having an idea, so you're not wasting that time with introductions. And that gives you more time to world build. You can go to Cloud City. You can introduce a very cool new character, such as Lando Calrissian. You can let the evil be a little bit more evil. You can build upon what the Empire wants to do, how the Empire is coming back. And at this point, the Empire is a little bit more of a character than it was in the first one. Because in the first one, it's just, oh, Empire bad. But now you get to see a little bit more of them. And the fact that it's not your Hollywood happy ending, I don't think people expected that.
Yeah.
You go in expecting they're getting medals at the end.
Right.
Like they're gonna do what they're going to do. They're getting medals at the end. Boom. We'll see in a couple of years for the third one. It's not what you got at all.
No, I think at least the world building part and the not having to set everyone up like here's Luke, here's him on Tatooine, it really does kind of lead to the movie starting very quickly and the pacing being very good throughout. I really like the opening sequence on Hoth. I think it's a really cool world.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Which is, because there's nothing there, but it's still somehow cool.
And that's some of the, I mean.
No pun intended.
I don't know how I mentioned Cloud City over Hoth. That battle scene with the AT-ATs.
That's my favorite vehicle. And like, if I were to get a tattoo today, it would be of an AT-AT.
And the Wampa, like, who doesn't know about the Wampa? Like, everything about Hoth, that's the beginning of the movie.
Right.
That's the beginning of the movie. In most movies, that's going to be the high point. That Hoth could be the climax of a lot of movies. A lot of lesser movies.
Which is one of the things that we mentioned last time about, or a couple times ago, about episode three.
It starts off with the climax of...
Yeah, of a decent movie. And that Hoth opening sequence is awesome. The battle aside, one of the things that I like so much about that Hoth scene is the chemistry between Han and Leia, which is on full display in this movie, which you don't really get it so much in Star Wars. There's kind of that weird dynamic between all three of them, which is still sort of there at the beginning. Yeah. But, I mean, that exchange they have in Echo Base about, you know, I just as soon kiss a Wookiee. You could use a good kiss. Like, I love those, that banter that they have, and it just stays the whole movie. And you have a good love story in this movie.
And Hoth helps build Han Solo as not just some asshole. Him going to get Luke shows the empathy and the compassion that, you know, he's kind of found a home. Him and Chewie have been off doing their own thing for so long that now he kind of has a purpose, and you kind of get that sense of him, that this rebel without a cause might actually have a cause now.
And that's all couched in him leaving.
Yeah.
Still telling them, he's like, I gots to go. I got to pay off this bounty. But, you know, he ends up against probably what's in his best interest. He does end up staying. And we bagged in the prequels, and rightfully so, about how bad the love scenes were between Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman. We did, you know, our little Movies on Up theater about, you know, reading that dialogue and how terrible it was. This is a great example of why we were so pissed at that dialogue, because it was so bad. But the dialogue between Han and Leia is great. Maybe that's just because Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford are much better actors than the duo of Natalie Portman and Hayden
Christensen. Under much better direction and better writing. I mean, there's a lot of... It's a perfect storm of a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, it really is. I think the writing does have a lot to do with it. I mean, Kasdan wrote Empire... Although, obviously, this is still at the point where there's a lot of influence from Lucas. But after you see Han and Leia, you think that's how, you know, Star Wars romances should be. And then when it's not, it really kind of sucks. I mean, the whole arc between Han and Leia is phenomenal. When you get to the end, that little bit with Han and Leia where, you know, he says that iconic line, it is only Harrison Ford could. I know, just because he was tired of hearing her say it, and they had run that scene about a million times already. You kind of mentioned not having to introduce characters, with the exception of Lando and Boba Fett. We do meet some characters, probably none bigger or smaller, I guess, than Yoda. We see him on Dagobah, and I really liked the way they introduced Yoda. I don't love that character as much as a lot of people do, but I love Empire Yoda. That's my favorite Yoda.
Because that's not what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to learn this massive force from a badass, from this great warrior.
Who taught Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, and that's not what you're expecting. And just the way he comes out, and he's fun. He's a Muppet. I mean, he's a Muppet in this movie, and it's great. And this goes to the world building. I didn't mention Dagobah either. Like,
right.
That's awesome. All the worlds in this are fantastic and very, very cool. And that's where Star Wars excels so well is when everybody's doing their own thing. We'll talk about it in Jedi next month. Star Wars is great when everybody's doing their own thing, and there wasn't a lot of that in the prequels. It was just, here's all your people. This is what's going on with all of them. Whereas you have Luke going to Dagobah. You have Han doing his thing. Everybody's separated, and it worked because you have all these different stories that are all interesting.
It does seem like there were good storylines for everyone. You had Han and Leia sort of on the run from the Empire, having their kind of romance aspect. And then Luke going from a guy that it's surprising that he didn't maim himself with a lightsaber in the first one to being a dude that by the time he's done with Yoda, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go try and fight Darth Vader, which at no point seems like a very good idea. But the whole training sequence that he has with Yoda, I think that's really cool. I mean, it gets you into some of the philosophies behind the Force, which is something that maybe is more of a Star Wars nerd than some. I kind of always got into sort of the spirituality behind it. And Yoda, I mean, he drops some pretty good lines in this, and specifically maybe even in Jedi, where he gets a little bit more philosophical about things. But I love the whole training sequence, judge me by my size and try not, do or do not. Absolutely great lines that so many lines from this particular movie stick out, and a lot of them are in that Dagobah scene and the scene where he goes into the cave and sort of the first trial he has where Yoda's trying to get him to not take his lightsaber in there and he doesn't listen to him. I think that does a great job of setting Luke up as this asshole that's just going to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, kind of like his dad.
A little bit like his dad,
which
yeah.
Which you don't know at this point.
Like, shut up, Yoda, I know better than you. Spoiler alert, yeah, that twist. We've talked about it before where I think it's ingrained on everyone as soon as you're born. Somehow, and I don't know how.
You know.
Yeah, you know, probably before you know that Santa Claus isn't real or, you know, anything like that, you know that Darth Vader is Luke's dad. And that's something that us and probably audiences to the end of time are going to miss. If there's one, you know, like...
To be in the theater.
To be able to quantum leap to a theater in 1980 and to be able to see Star Wars and not know. If there was somehow I could leave my memories of Star Wars behind and just...
Even me knowing, to be in a theater...
To see everybody else not know would be cool too.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I find most impressive about this movie, and it's just because the world we live in now, you'd never be able to keep that secret. It would be on Twitter seconds after midnight. I mean, it would be as big as, like, Dumbledore gets killed
Snake
by a snake.
Kills Dumbledore.
Yeah, as big as, you know, that, well, that was, those three words. I think this would be much, much bigger, and it would be, even knowing it, I still love this movie, but I can't even fathom what that would have been like.
No, I would love to see this movie for the first time in a theater. Everything about it. Going back to the ending. Oh, what? I just watched this great movie. I should be happy, but I'm kind of bummed.
I think that that might be some of the reason why people like Empire, because it doesn't really tie up that neat. People aren't getting medals in Yavin. There's no trumpets. Han's frozen in carbonite on his way to Jabba the Hutt. Luke got his ass kicked against Vader and got his hand cut off and, you know, found out that the worst dude in the universe is his dad. Our heroes are not left in a great place, but I think it's that ending makes that movie cool. Because I think, like, a lot of guys, and I mean, I can appreciate some of the cool factors of the Empire. I mean, the bounty hunters are sweet. The vehicles were sweet. This movie, like, really just kind of showed how cool the bad guys were, and then they won.
Yeah, my screenwriting buddy Tony, that we work on stuff together, we use Empire Strikes Back as, when we're outlining a story, we always look for the Empire Strikes Back of the story. That's in Juggalo, Ohio. There's an episode called The Juggalo Strikes Back because that's the Empire Strikes Back moment of that story arc. But they end the movie with it. Like, Empire Strikes Back moment is something that you come back from and overcome. This movie had the balls to just, that's it. That's it. They won. Go home. We'll see you in a couple years.
Which would be another great thing to see in the theaters. I recall coming out of the first Lord of the Rings movie when it just kind of stops. And people, even knowing that that was going to be a trilogy, people were like, oh, wait, what the hell? Or even the Hunger Games from last year when it kind of, it doesn't stop right where I wanted it to. But it would have been interesting to see people come out of the theaters being kind of shell-shocked, getting that Vader bomb dropped on them, and then, you know, seeing the good guys alive for the most part, but that's really about all they were able to do is just not get killed in this one.
It went there. And it's not like, oh, Han had a bad day, so, oh, I know the rest of them. No, you don't have hope. In 4, you had a new hope. By the end of 5, you have no hope. Like, I don't know where it goes from here.
Yeah, and we do kind of see our heroes get a bit spread out, but I do think that that's, for what is a kid's movie, and I think that, especially if you look at episode 1, that's pretty clearly a kid's movie, and Jedi, I think, is a lot of kids' stuff as well.
Very marketable movie.
Yeah, sure. This one does seem like it has maybe a darker tone, but it doesn't feel, you mentioned superhero movies, a lot of times when they kind of go dark for dark's sake, it feels forced. I mean, this one never felt like it was forced. It was just like, well, this is how the story is going to play out. To me, it kind of feels like instead of having like a traditional 3-act where you have A New Hope, it's got everything all contained. We don't need any other Star Wars after that. We get it. The good guys win. They get their medals. Death Star's blown up. Hooray.
Oh, yeah,
that's
definitely a movie that it could have been a standalone.
Completely self-contained.
If it ends after this one.
Exactly.
No.
It can't. You know, nobody's.
This movie doesn't get made if you don't have a third one on the way.
Exactly. And to me, that's perfect in that the last two seem to work together so well, because as low as you get, low in maybe quotations, because I still like the ending, as low as you get an Empire, you're even higher than that by the time Jedi rolls around and sort of, spoiler alert, clears everything up. But I think that's a couple reasons why people think that it's their favorite, but I don't know that it's necessarily the best. That's a much harder to define question as to why is it your favorite? Well, because this, and this.
That's an interesting question, because is it a good standalone movie? No.
Right.
No. Without A New Hope and without Return of the Jedi, you watch the 5th and 6th episodes of a Mad Men season and that's it. It's incomplete. So in that sense, it's not the best standalone movie. As a part of the story, I think it's the best chapter. As far as directing, writing, acting, everything else goes, I think this far and away the best. I think it's the best written of all 6 movies. I think it's the best directed. I think the best performances come in this one. I think everything from a movie standpoint is at the top of its game in this one. I think from a strictly movie standpoint, from the acting, the writing, the directing, everything else involved in making a movie, this is the best one.
I don't know that I necessarily, and this might just be me trying to just take the opposite side just for the hell of it, but as far as the writing goes, I mean, there are exchanges that I like in this an awful lot, and there's more than I like in A New Hope. And I think that some of the reason is because the characters now know each other. So there's kind of that level of comfort between the characters and between the actors, too.
That's the point I was going to make. The characters know each other, but the actors know these characters.
Right.
So they're all more, whereas you're not introducing the characters, like going back to my earlier point, you don't have to spend time introducing the characters. The actors don't have to spend as much time learning the characters. They know them already. So the lines like, I know, you know, it's a Harrison Ford ad lib, but it fits with Han Solo. Like, he knows that character enough to know that fits.
And as cool of a moment as that is, I still think that him in the cantina shooting Greedo and then flipping the coin to the bartender and saying, sorry about the mess, I think that is baller as I know is. And it's one of the most baller things in history. I think that the shooting first is just a little bit better. And I don't feel like I'm necessarily grasping at straws here on that. It's just, you know, it's one example of Han Solo. We talked about in Hoth how, despite his best interest, he comes back to get Leia out. He does the same thing in the Death Star run. He comes down, literally, you're not expecting to see him at all. And there he is, out of the blue. He comes and saves Luke's ass so he can blow up the Death Star, and they can all get their medals. Actually, I do think that A New Hope is the best one.
because it is self-contained. I can't really hold that against Empire because it was never supposed to be.
Yeah.
But they'd argue, some people might argue, that Star Wars was never self-contained. It was always going to be three movies. It was always going to be six. It was always going
to
be
nine. It wanted to be three movies. It wasn't made knowing it was going to be three movies.
Pretty clearly, it ends pretty neatly. Yeah. It almost seemed like there was a bit of retcon to be like, oh, no, well, when Vader was just spinning around, he wasn't dead. Like, he just kind of hooked on to this other patrol he found, and he got back, and everything's good. As far as, like, the acting and the directing, I do think that Kirshner was a better director than Lucas, but I think that what Lucas did in the first one, I really, really liked. I liked the transitions. I liked the wipes. And even then, it's so different now because he's done so many other things to the original movie. It's hard to point out and say what I like about the transitions from the 77 one because they're not there now.
Yeah, they've been redone and stuff. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel the same.
Like, I want a Blu-ray release of the original theatrical cut.
I'm sure at some point they'll probably do it because they did it on DVD. They gave you the original unaltered movies, and they were also in with the digital re-releases complete with Hayden Christensen in there and everything like that. And I don't know if it's just that it's necessarily a justification, but, I mean, A New Hope was nominated for Best Picture. Empire didn't, and maybe that's just because by the time Empire came out, it was this thing. It was this Star Wars thing that the kids like, and it's not really...
And I think Star Wars got that nomination because it was a thing. It was its one standalone thing. For some reason, it wasn't as big back then, but I think it got overlooked because they knew there was another one coming. I think that hurt it a little bit, just like Lord of the Rings, the first two, get no love. The third one, Best Picture.
Yeah.
It was the weakest of the three, but it was the Best Picture because it was a Lifetime Achievement Award. I think that kind of hurt Empire when it came to Oscars.
I don't disagree with you there, but I think that, and again, it's hard to hold this against Empire, but I think that everything that was good about A New Hope, and there was a lot of good about it, it was great. I think they were able to kind of improve on something that was already good. Like, there was already the blueprint there on how to make a really cool sci-fi adventure space western movie. It's take this last one, and people seem to like Darth Vader, so let's do more of him, less of Tarkin. What else did people like? Oh, they really kind of like this Han Solo guy, so let's focus on him a lot. Oh, we need something for the kids. How about a little green Muppet fella that happens to be a really badass Jedi, the only one left in the galaxy? I think from that standpoint, it's much easier to make the comic book sequel when you have this great comic book movie that was nominated for Best Picture and should have won because Annie Hall's not that good. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not taking away from New Hope. I get the argument.
Right.
In my mind, I think Empire is the superior movie in every way. I won't go to the grave fighting that because I think a valid argument can be made for Star Wars. If you want to argue any others other than those two, it might have an argument.
It's a tougher road to hoe.
Yeah,
sure.
But I mean, either of those two, I get.
And I feel like those are the two. You ask people what their favorite Star Wars movie, I feel like most people would say Empire, and the two of us would say the same thing. I kind of feel like A New Hope would probably be right there after that. I think that's probably the second most popular response, and for good reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what's your favorite Christian Slater movie? Gleaming the Cube or Pump Up the Volume? Those are the two right answers. Anything else, you're wrong. That's what it's like. I mean, these are the Gleaming the Cube and the Pump Up the Volume of the Star Wars saga. Empire is definitely the Pump Up the Volume and the superior movie, although you can make an argument for Gleaming the Cube. Untamed Heart would be the Jedi.
True Romance?
True Romance is good.
Yeah, is that at least acceptable?
That's acceptable.
Is that like if I want to say Episode 3 is my favorite, I can say that. Again, some of these, it's kind of hard to talk about without going beat by beat of a movie that we've all seen about 100 times. I know more lines from this movie than I know probably from all other movies combined. I find myself quoting it all the time because it made that much of an indelible impression on me. This was the first Star Wars movie I saw. I didn't know who Luke Skywalker was. I didn't know why Han gave two shits to go out and get him in the snow, but it didn't stop me from absolutely falling in love with this movie and then wanting to go back, oh, there, you mean there was one before this? I missed it? Okay, cool. This is fine. I don't know that had I seen the original first, maybe that was my favorite. Maybe it just so happened that seeing this first is really what did it for me and not the other five things that, you know, we pointed out ahead of time. But maybe you just are such a big Boba Fett fan, or you like Lobot, and that's why.
The mummy dude.
Dengar?
Yeah.
Yeah? Maybe you like Dengar or Bossk or IG-88 or Forlom. There could be any reason why you like Empire, and we'd love to hear about them. Tweet your thoughts at MikeMann at MoviesOnUp on the Twitter. Email MoviesOnUp at gmail.com or Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp. That puts us almost through with our Star Wars episodes. We'll have one again next month as we'll hit Jedi in September. Then we'll be off the Star Wars for a while.
Unless they make a horror movie, Star Wars, that we'll talk about in October, but I don't think we're going to get that.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to do that. We will talk a little tiny bit about Star Wars next week during our fall-winter preview. They are making a Star Wars movie. It does come out in December this year, and we are seriously looking forward to that. Also looking forward to the preview, because it always is kind of fun for us to kind of run through.
Bonus size episode.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger. This one may end up being a little bit short, but to be honest with you, we got you coming back on the other side, so don't worry. Whatever time we left you with this week, bored, we're going to take it up and then some next week. Yeah. But until then,
keep it up.